Our Bible reading today comes from the book of Genesis. Tony, may I have my theme on the screen, please? My theme today is the choices we make. I'll explain a little bit after reading this scripture to you. In the church Bible, it must be page 14. If you are reading from the NIV, from the King James Version, I don't know what page it is. But I will read. Genesis chapter 13. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything that he had. And Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are close relatives. Is it not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left." Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities in the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and to the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see, I'll give to you and your offsprings forever. I'll make your offsprings like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offsprings could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre and Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. Beautiful as it is. The choices we make. Some choose to live in massive houses. Others choose to live on water. Look at that beautiful house there. And some choose to live in their boats. I've seen some around, beautiful ones. And when I was inquiring, someone told me, that one is worth billions of. I'm a billion myself, I would rather stay where I'm staying, because I can't afford. But it's the choices that we make in our lives. Some of the choices do we end up regretting? Some of the choices do we end up celebrating? There's no one to blame, because it's our choices. As the story that we've just read about between Abram and Lot, it was about choices. As I told you a week ago, I said today its service is a service to give testimonies. So if you've got a testimony ready, it's your opportunity. Stand up, please, and tell us your testimony. Yes.
Well, I'm Rose, if anybody doesn't know me. I think most of you do, or see me up the front strumming my guitar. I came to know Jesus through ants, believe it or not. So nothing is too small to bring you into life with Christ. 40 years ago, I was living in a one-bedroom flat with my son. My first husband had left me when I fell pregnant with him, so I was on my own. And most weekends I used to spend with my parents, and they brought me back this particular weekend, and I put Davy straight to bed, and I went into the lounge, and I had a black settee, and I waved to him from the window. I didn't put the lights on. All of a sudden, the settee seemed to move, and I thought, hello, what's going on here? So I put the light on, and it was literally covered in ants. The whole of my lounge was, my kitchen was, and I just went hysterical. But I managed to get through the night, and the next morning I phoned up the council. And they said, oh, there's nothing we can do because they're a garden pest. I said, well, what am I supposed to do about them then? You know, I can't go back into that house. But anyway, I got some garden stuff and fixed it myself. But what they said to me was, they have people who come and visit you, not a proper health visitor, but somebody who's just a social lady who just comes and visits to help you. And she came and visited me. Her name was Mary. Very appropriate name, actually. And she visited me for a while, and she loaned me a book. And this book was called When the Spirit Came, and it was by Colin Urquhart. You may not know many of the older ones probably do, the younger ones probably don't. But Colin Urquhart was a great evangelist. But I didn't read the book right there and then because I was so wrapped up in my life and whatever, and she just left it with me. And after a while, I moved from the flat to a two-bedroom house in Colley Row. And once I'd settled in the house, I started reading this book, and I thought, hang on, these people in this church has got something I've never seen in church. I mean, I used to go to church, I used to believe in Christ, but thought he might have been a spaceman or, you know, magician, anybody, not actually the Son of God. And I thought, you know, they're alive. They're coming up and they're saying wonderful things and being alive. When I've been to church on weddings, christenings and funerals, nobody really moved or said anything, did anything. So I thought, I want some of that. I really like some of that. So I went to our local Church of England church, and the very first service I had there, and I didn't realise then, but he didn't do this every week, but Len Goodman, the minister there, said, anybody who wants to pray, Len Lund, sorry, I'm going strictly now, sorry, Len Lund, sorry, anybody who wants prayer, please come up to the altar rail and hold your hands out. So I walked up to the altar rail and I held my hands out, and he said, what's your name? I said, Rose. What do you want? I said, I want to be baptised, give my life to Christ and be baptised in the Holy Spirit. Bless the man, he never blinked an eyelid. He said, okay, no problem. So he prayed for me, and I thought, great, this is it, get up, and nothing happened. I thought, oh, okay, well, all right. I went back, and, you know, Len spoke to me, and then went home, and there was this thing on telly, you know, does Jesus really exist? And I thought, nah, because he don't exist. It's just, you know, this thing. And I thought, well, how can you say that? You've just given your life to him and he don't exist. And I went for a terrible time. This was at Easter. And I went for a really bad time about fighting this thing. And I'm saying, well, Lord, if you're there, come to me. You know, if you exist, come to me. And I was washing up and he said, how about you coming to me? I thought I'd done that. But anyway, on the floor, I got on the floor and I kneeled and I said, Lord, I come to you and I give my life to you. And I got up and still nothing happened. But I did feel a peace. And I went to bed that night and I had this horrendous dream. Devil and Christ was fighting in the back of this lorry over me. Why a back of a lorry, I do not know. All the places in... My dad had transport prisoners, so I don't know if that might have been somewhere subconsciously. They were fighting, and I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning, and nobody had won. Now, that frightened me. I thought, I've given my life to you, Lord. I've done all what you have asked me to, and still, nobody's won. I still don't belong to you. I could go either way. And so I thought, I don't want to go to hell. I'm not going to hell. Lord, please, I'm sorry. Whatever it is, I must give it to you. And I let go completely of everything. And I'm yours for whatever you want me to do. I'm yours. And then that's when I felt, yes, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was running around the house praising God in a different language. And I wanted to phone my friend Mary up, but I thought probably inappropriate at that time in the morning. But it goes down to, funny enough, what we were saying today about trusting and obeying. I made an initial step of giving my life to Christ, but I didn't completely trust him. I didn't completely give everything to him. There was still part of me I was holding on. That was evident. Even though I'd done it twice, that was evident by the fact that the fight was taking place in the back of the lorry. I still had a part of my life that God said, you either come to me completely or you're going to be sitting on the fence all your life. You've got to make that decision. And I made it. And I think this is what we must do. We must... And always, to be honest with you, I have to constantly do that because I'm always taking parts of my life back and saying, oh, well, I can do that on my own. I can't. But I think I can because I'm me. And we all think we could do things without God, but we can't. So I think that's about it. So sorry if I bored you. But bye.
All right, Peter.
I'm just as well as anybody else. Well, I gave my life to Jesus in Cannon Street Congregational Church in beautiful Middlesbrough when I was about 14, when the Reverend Lemuel Morris gave an appeal, and I accepted Jesus. And everything went just normal, nothing spectacular or anything like that, until the 1st of January 1978, when Marijke gave me a surprise, and she said, I think we should go to church. So I picked myself up off the floor, and we went to the nearest church, which happened to be a Baptist church. And then shortly after we went, Mark was born. And, of course, Mark was home. Marijke had to look after the baby. I continued going to the church. One Sunday, I made a mistake and sat in the wrong place. And a person came up to me and she said, I wouldn't sit there if I was you. That's where Mrs. So-and-so and family sit. Come and sit with me. So I did. This person, I found out, was called Diana Payne. And then she said something right balmy to me. She said, I think you ought to be baptized. Now that to me was just absolute nonsense. And I said, why? And she said, because I think it'll do you good. And it gets dafter after this. And I said, well, are you baptized? And she said, no. Well, that's like a red rag to a bull, isn't it, really? You start arguing and say, why are you not baptized? Anyway, after many, many months, and almost a fight outside the church over this aspect of baptism. That is true, by the way. We nearly came to blows. And all this time, Marijke had decided she wanted to be baptized as well. She wanted to be baptized. I was still very much against it. And Marijke went to be baptized. She did it herself, whilst Diana and I were completely arguing the toss. And then eventually, we both decided we'd be baptized, and Marijke would be baptized as well. You know, you get the impression there's something missing from your life. I never knew what it was. And it might have been the fact that I was baptized, it might not. That I wasn't baptized, it might not. But eventually, on the 1st of October, 1978, three of us were baptized. I was still very, very reluctant. And on that day, I was still wondering whether I should go along with it or not. However, I did, and we are baptized, both Marika and I, and of course Diana as well. Now, whether it has done me good, I don't know on that one, but I think it probably put in the missing part to the puzzle of my Christian life.
Thank you, Peter. I know you are all burning to give your testimony, but I'll ask you to keep it for the next time because we seem to have run out of time. We'll have another service again some other time for testimonies because people were burning to give their testimonies, but I haven't been doing it all these years, but I'll make it a regular thing to do. So if you are burning to say something, I was also burning to say something today, coming from this text, but the time is against us. Just in a nutshell, whilst I was burning to give my testimony today after reading this, yesterday's preacher preached exactly like he was speaking to me. The evidence that he gave and what he was saying is exactly what was behind my mind in my testimony today. But I will keep that for another day. If I don't bring it to you, nudge my shoulder. I'll bring it to you. I promise. So if you didn't get a chance to give us your testimony today, please bear with us. I'll give you another chance some other time. We will stand up to